Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Solomon Karmasinghe. Solomon is an educator, he's a community activist, an author, a public speaker, and he's the founder of Your World News Community Media Collective. Alternative media, the kind of media that PRN is, the kind of media we all need, and certainly to avoid the other kind at all costs. I don't think PRN listeners need to be told that. Solomon produced an important documentary we want to talk about. He honored me by asking me to be part of it, and we got together, some weeks back, and I had my say. A number of other participants have their say in the documentary. Solomon calls it Imperialism, Facts, Perspectives, and Solutions. With everything going on in the world today, my goodness, keeps me writing daily articles on it. I can't imagine a topic more important to discuss than imperialism and what it does and what it's for and the harm that it causes and the potential cataclysm that actually I believe will happen unless there's a way to stop it. Solomon, welcome. We picked a good day to talk about this.
We sure did. Thank you for having me on your show again, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's vitally important, Solomon. We literally, my goodness, I was too young to remember the state of the world as we entered into World War II. I certainly remember World War II, but my goodness, I think I literally began kindergarten either on or just about the day that Hitler invaded Poland. But, you know, as a five-year-old, what the heck did I know? Nothing. I knew nothing about what was going on. Of course, there was no TV in those days. My goodness, are we on the brink of another global cataclysm? I really wonder whether that could be so. But I want you to talk about your documentary, and we can blend that in to the things that are going on right now.
Sure, without a doubt. And as you said before, you're in the documentary, and it was an honor. I mean, when I was putting together a list of folks who I thought would be great for this documentary, and obviously there's a lot of folks that I would have liked to have in the documentary, but because of time constraints, I couldn't fit them into the little under 2-hour documentary. But you were on that list. Your name immediately jumped out because of the work that you've been doing for throughout the years, confronting imperialism and injustice in general through your writings and your radio show and your interviews that have appeared on everywhere from RT to Press TV. And so this documentary, I wanted to put something together because, Stephen, with the four or five documentaries that have been produced by Your World News, we always aim to do documentaries that are going to raise the specter of education and consciousness of the average, so-called American that lives within a quagmire of injustice, that lives within the epicenter of imperialism in terms of where imperialism begins and then is violently metastasized throughout the world, and that's the U.S. But they are, as you know, most Americans are just kind of obsequious. It's, outside of a small critical mass of organizers and activists that are trying desperately to get information out and trying to organize other people, the average American is just kind of complicit with the way things are, because they don't, and a lot of them just don't really realize, how dire things are and how their inactions, their complicity, plays a role in all these kind of things that are happening, throughout the world, by way of the U.S. government. And so this documentary that we wanted to do, Imperialism, wanted to attack imperialism and to break it down and to have folks on like yourself, Margaret Kimberly, Michael Parenti, Eric Dreitzer, Jamu Baraka, folks on to discuss, Dalia Wasfi, to have them come on and break down, a series of questions. And one of those first questions, as you remember, Stephen, was what is imperialism? What is imperialism? Let's not start off the documentary by, confusing people even more by just talking about the things that imperialism does. Let's answer the question, what is imperialism? And then we'll build to what imperialism has done. And so we started with that question so that everyone that views this documentary We want everyone to watch, but especially the folks who are neophytes to what imperialism is, its connection to white supremacy, its connection to global domination, what it is. And that's what the documentary does throughout. It explains what imperialism is, and then it starts to branch out even deeper into how imperialism has reared its ugly head throughout the world. It places a broad context, comparing it to its, you know, evil brother, which is white supremacy, how that plays a role. Who are some of the major players of imperialism, you know, as we speak, and as we know, the United States of America is the king of imperialism right now. It stands unmatched. It has its allies in imperialism, you know, the Great Britons and France's and so forth, but the U.S. reigns supreme. It is number one, it's numero uno when it comes to imperialism right now as we speak in 2014. And so that's what the documentary does. It gets into that, and it has some really important clips, Stephen, that were extracted from other documentaries, other important work, to really kind of highlight, so people could see, like they could hear Stephen Lindman talk about it, and then we'll go to a clip that really pronounces what Stephen Lindman and other activists were talking about. So we have clips in there from John Pilger, and looking at the role that Great Britain and the U.S. played in terms of ripping away the land from people of Diego Garcia, you know, in that archipelago of the Che Guevara Islands. You know, there's another, you know, clip in there that gets into the often silenced, you know, vantage point of what's going on in Israel-Palestine or Palestine-Israel, where that land has been ripped away from Palestinians, you know, going back to 1947-48, and the continued oppression that they face to this day. So I think it's, you know, I'm biased, but even if I wasn't a part of this project, I think it's a very, very, it's a critical piece. There's not a lot of documentaries, you know, being done on these things, and I think that those of us that have the wherewithal, the resources, that it's important for us to get this work out there for anyone and everyone to get a hold of it. And we encourage people, you know, at the beginning and the end of the film to organize, you know, in community centers, churches, synagogues, mosques, and so forth, educational centers, and sit down and have screenings and show the film, and then open up to a discussion afterwards. And as you know, Stephen, as a lifelong activist and organizer you are, these kind of discussions lead the way. They open up the door for organizing. So, okay, now after we've seen this, we've had this discussion, you know, and now these discussions come, you know, plans how we can better organize within our local communities and how we can branch out and start to connect to other organizers and organizations and activists in other cities and towns and hamlets throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, and towards building a much better, humane world, a world that is free of war, that is free of imperialism, that is free of white supremacy, and ultimately that is free of injustice.
Well, you certainly said an awful lot that's so important, Solomon, crucially important. I think I know my history fairly well. I'm not an expert on history, but I think I know it fairly well. I've certainly done a lot of reading on it. I compare now with what's going on in earlier times, and maybe the greatest threat to world peace and human survival. I went back to the age of Nazism and the Japanese Empire. Well, Hitler wanted to conquer all of Europe, Solomon, and North Africa, maybe some other areas as well. And Imperial Japan wanted all of Asia. A big chunk of territory. There simply is nothing that compares with the ambitions of America, as we both know, Solomon, absolutely nothing. And of course the weapons that exist today are so far superior to anything that existed during World War II. Well, right at the end of the war, America had developed nuclear weapons and used two of them, but in power they were rather weak compared to the kind of weapons that exist today, and certainly the delivery systems didn't exist back in those days. So there was nothing nothing during the height of all the killing and slaughter during World War II that compares to anything going on today. And what are America's ambitions, Solomon, compared to the Germans, the Nazis, and the Imperial Japanese, and any others that preceded them? Well, I could take it right out of the Pentagon's 1998 U.S. Space Command document. It's called Vision for 2020. They update this every now and then, but the one that came out in 1998 is pretty much overall, the basic idea is really the same as today. And what did the Pentagon say? America wants, quote-unquote, full-spectrum dominance. I'm sure listeners have heard that term before. And what does it mean? It means over everything, over all land, across the whole planet, over all land, surface and subsurface areas, air, space, the electromagnetic spectrum, information systems, and enough overwhelming power to fight and win global wars against any adversary, including using nuclear weapons preemptively, even against non-nuclear states. That is the mandate, that is the policy of the U.S. government, and that's what Obama is doing. Is there a chance we could have a nuclear war, Solomon? I certainly hope we won't have one, but I think the chance is a lot more real than most people can realize. It's very, very real, and I think it's possible we could even see one in our lifetime. Heaven help us if it happens.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, look at what's going on right now. The U.S., you know, I say we, I'm talking to you, Stephen, and I'm talking to other activists who are part of that critical mass that keeps their fingers on the pulse of geopolitics, which, you know, only becomes difficult, you know, a difficult thing to do when you simply come home and you absorb, an unhealthy dose of reality television shows, which to me, like one reality show is an unhealthy dose, and just sit back and consume mass amounts of MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, and the like. That contributes to, you know, as Keith Harmon Snow says, to your own mental illness. You know, you make it confusing to yourself, and so, you know, folks can do a lot by reading your pieces, going to places like Black Agenda Report, Your World News, Counterpunch, and so forth, and just taking in an article at a time. But, you know, those folks that go to those places, they know that right now the U.S. has been funding and financing and supporting opposition groups on the ground in Venezuela. They want regime change there, Stephen. You know that. They want regime change there. They do not want the Bolivarian Revolution. They do not want the great things that Chavez, you know, put into motion, all of his different social missions and programs, the universal health care, eradicating, things like glaucoma and cataracts and the educational, education, all these different things, creating a microfinance bank for women, working towards eradicating institutional racism. These are all things that he wanted, and these right-wing, mostly European Venezuelans like Leopoldo Lopez and Caprias, you know, they want to upend that. They want to upend that. They want to gain, you know, back deeper control of the oil revenues. They don't want to see those oil revenues going towards social programs. They want them to get. They want to make these deals with their dirty financiers in the U.S. and European Union. And so we see that going on. We see what's going on in Ukraine. The U.S. going there and supporting these opposition groups, many of which are these neo-fascist, neo-Nazis. And so obviously Russia has to protect their interests. And so we see, like recently, with Putin is moving, military exercises to protect his country because it's right there on we know the geographic relationship between Russia and the Ukraine. And so all these things are going on, and the U.S. is sitting there just antagonizing. We see the U.S. moving more of its fleet of ships, aircraft carriers, into the South Pacific to egg on China. To say, oh, we have to go there to protect our ally in Taiwan. That's not there. They're You know, the U.S. is going there because they don't see any limits in terms of their global domination. They want to be everywhere. They're throughout Africa now in over 35 countries with AFRICOM. And so, Stephen, you hit it right on the right on the head, because countries like China and Russia, you know, who also have nuclear weapons, they're not going to, if the U.S. starts to encroach upon encroach upon their interests, they're most likely not going to balk at the U.S. as the way other countries do that don't have these different deterrents. And so, I hope we don't see it. I'd like to see a world that is riddled with peace and not riddled with war. But the U.S. does not. The U.S. government does not. They don't see any kind of a limit to their power, and they don't want it to have to be confined within their manufactured borders of the United States. They want to they don't want to dominate. They want to steal other people's land and their resources. We saw what happened in Libya, a war based on lies. And I say that because I could say Iraq, Stephen, because that was also a war based on lies. But it seems like the average so-called liberal American knows about that, but they choose not to know about what President Barack Obama did in Libya. That was a war based on lies. Gaddafi was not killing his own people. Gaddafi is somebody who provided his people with universal health care. If you got married, you had a dowry of anywhere between $35,000 to $50,000. He built the great, was building the great man-made river. He wanted to see a United States of Africa, wanted, you know, folks, if they wanted Libyan oil, they need to trade in the gold dinar. And the U.S. refused to allow AFRICOM to be based in this country. And so the U.S. came up with a bunch of lies, and they fed it to Americans that they knew couldn't even tell you where Libya was on a map. And the rest is history. And you have, you know, Americans cheerleading a war based on a bunch of lies. Knowing that the average American was not going to go do his or her own research and delve into, like, is this the truth? Do we really need this? And Gaddafi was brutally murdered. And what happened, Stephen, one of the most repugnant things about the whole thing is that, meanwhile, the average American who allows him or herself to be duped into this stuff, was not thinking about Libya, so they cheerleaded for the war in Libya, allowed MSNBC and these other liberal outlets, as well as Fox News, a conservative outlet, to bait them into cheerleading for this war. And now that 52 to 100,000 people were massacred in Libya directly by NATO airstrikes, and the U.S. airstrikes and bombings, and then by way of the people that they financed, the real terrorists on the ground, these Al-Qaeda, these Al-Qaeda subgroups that they finance. Now, people, brutally massacred and lynched. And now, since the country is in a quagmire of civil war with, between the green resistance, the people that were supporting Gaddafi, that were supporters of Gaddafi, and these terrorist folks that have now, have so quasi-control of the country, because the country is ultimately controlled by Europe and the U.S., the U.S. media is nowhere there, and so the average American could not give a damn about fellow human beings that are just like them, but, in a place called Libya, couldn't give a damn about them. And that country has been set, as you know, Stephen, has been set back at least a century, at least a century. They had a higher living standard than even Russia and Brazil and most of Eastern Europe. They had things that Americans don't even have right now. They had universal health care. They had education, things that most Americans don't have right now. And because of Americans' just utter stupidity, they cheerleaded this, and it is one of the gross, one of the gross injustices of our lifetime, Stephen, and those people are suffering right now. And so, yes, right now, it's spiraling out of control. And, all these things that are going on simultaneously are spiraling out of control. And who is caught in the crossfires? The average human being. The average human being is caught in the crossfires of this geopolitical struggle that at the heart of it is imperialism, headed by the United States of America.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, Solomon. And during the 2011 war, Obama's war on Libya, I was writing almost daily articles on what was going on, the way I'm doing on Ukraine now, and also in Venezuela. Now, over the years, I've written many, many times about Venezuela. I had a new article I put out this morning. I've written some days on Ukraine. I've written two articles. I think there was one day I might have written three on Ukraine on the same day. I think there was one day I actually did that in the past couple of weeks, because there was just so much I wanted to say. I could have gotten it into one article, but it would have been so long, nobody would read the darn thing. So I split it into separate topics and separate articles. But you're right, exactly right about Libya. It was a marvelous place. And Gaddafi could be very mean to his enemies, but certainly, I'd take living under Gaddafi in a heartbeat versus living under Obama, Solomon.
That's right.
Aside from the wonderful benefits that he gave the Libyan people. And today, how many Americans know that the condition of things in Libya today is literally a cauldron of violence? Displaced people, suffering people, impoverished people, all kinds of horrendous things going on. Literally daily conflict going on throughout the populated parts of the country. Of course, we know what's going on in Syria, Obama's war on Syria, so many other spots. Iraq, in the aftermath of Bush's war that Obama continued until around... pulled out most U.S. troops two or three years ago, but still U.S. bases there, still small numbers, contingents of U.S. forces, and America controls Iraqi airspace. Well, Iraq, Solomon, was another very, very developed country. I certainly wouldn't want to have lived under Saddam, but if you lived in Iraq and didn't go up against the regime, the way I take on Obama all the time, and you do the same thing, you could have gotten along very, very nicely in Iraq. Highly developed, good benefits for the people, oil revenues are used, certainly to enrich the people who ran the country, but did a lot for the people of Iraq, all gone. Iraq, another country, a cauldron of violence, thanks to America. This could go on for years. Of course, Afghanistan, we could go on and on. Plus all the proxy wars people know nothing about. And the fact that U.S. Special Forces train killers, operate covertly in at least two-thirds of the world's countries, destabilizing, killing, doing what killers do. This is what's going on. This is what U.S. imperialism is all about. Solomon, and what scares me is, if we don't find a way to stop it, I tell you, it could be curtains for us. It literally could be curtains for us. The things that I think bother me most, aside from the policies of our government, is still too many people go to the corporate media for news. Many fewer people than used to do it. I saw a report on the ratings for cable TV channels, way, way, way down. Way down from a few years ago. Well, my goal is to get people to tune them out altogether. You certainly don't get any news there. All of them. There's nothing that's good. CNN is just as bad as Fox. They're all bad.
Yeah.
And the broadcasters, they're bad. They propagandize. And the other thing that bothers me so much, Solomon, is even Americans who understand enough about what's going on are largely indifferent in terms of doing anything about it. People don't realize that we have power. We have it if we use it. And if we don't use it, the people who are running things literally get away with murder, mass destruction, literally the risk of a global war, the risk of heaven help, the possibilities of what could happen.
You're exactly right. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, that you said that, and you've always made it plain, you know, you say it how it is. It's mass murder. When you go there and you orchestrate, you know, countless drone strikes as Obama has done, and we have to emphasize it, because you know what? If we were saying Bush, people somehow they listen. They're like, oh man, yeah, you know. But when you say a Democrat, a so-called liberal, you know, they tend to turn off their social justice receptors, and they turn a willing blind eye to their crimes, whether it's Obama or Bill Clinton or otherwise. So most folks don't talk about Bill Clinton bombing bombing a pharmaceutical plant in Sudan and all the other things that he did, you know, in terms of what he did in Haiti with Aristide and and imposing, these strict measures that, you know, Aristide, if you want to come back to power, then you must accept these, you know, very, very low tariffs of subsidized U.S. rice and other agricultural entities getting into the country. But Obama, you know, is one of the worst that we've seen. I mean, he's orchestrated more drone strikes than Bush ever did. He did that. Obama did that in his first year in office. He orchestrated more drone strikes than Bush did in his 8 years. Obama has expanded in Afghanistan, and all they want to talk about that, you know, Obama, you know, announced that, you know, the troop withdrawal, but Obama is trying to pressure Karzai, and we know Karzai is a puppet, but, you know, Karzai, you know, perhaps has had some kind of epiphany and refused to sign a deal that the U.S. wanted, but Obama's trying to pressure him so that troops can, you know, remain in Afghanistan in perpetuity. And so the U.S. doesn't have any plans of leaving Afghanistan. Those that believe that are delusional. And, you know, but you look at the drone strikes in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Yemen and Somalia, throughout all these different parts of the world and all these lives that have been lost. And we know that the vast majority, like over 94% of the people that have been killed by these drones have been innocent civilians, Stephen Lindman, innocent civilians. And you have all these like so-called like liberals, even so-called progressives that turn a blind eye or make excuses for this man's crimes. And you said it right. That is mass murder. It is mass murder, and to call it anything else is intellectually dishonest or otherwise. And so we have to continue to speak out and say it for and call it for what it is, you know, and perhaps that's because if we start to call it something else, Stephen, the moment you or I start to call it just collateral damage, you know, those folks who are the sheeple who are tone deaf to that kind of language and just see it as just kind of like American, you know, foreign policy by saying collateral damage and once we start doing that, then we start to do an injustice to all of the folks that read our articles, that watch our listen to our radio shows and watch our documentaries or so forth, or are part of the different networks of organizers and activists that we're a part of. We start to do them a disservice because then we start to try purposely euphemize things that. You can't euphemize mass murder, Stephen. There's no need to euphemize. You should never euphemize mass murder. It is what it is. It's mass murder. To call it collateral damage to say, oh well, this just happens. No, they, as you know, they have actuaries, people that know the projections that when we do a drone strike, we're likely going to take out, you know, X amount of innocent civilians, you know. We have our PR set up, and we're going to call it, you know, collateral damage, and say that, you know, we were upset that these people lost their lives, but they're not upset because they know going into it that innocent civilians are lives are being lost. And folks, if you think that Obama is not a part of this, he's not complicit, you are crazy. When these drone strikes are launched, he approves nearly every single one, approves them. And in that new book, written by David Halperin and I forget the other Washington Post reporter his name, it's called Double Down. In that book, when they were writing that book, they were embedded with Obama aides, and they were embedded behind the scenes, and they write in that book, Stephen, that he entered the room one day, and he said, you know, to paraphrase him, said that I'm good at killing people. I didn't realize, you know, I was going to get so good at killing people. And folks, I'm paraphrasing, but when I say that he said that he was good at killing people, that's not paraphrase. He did say that.
Oh, he did we're just about out of time, Solomon, so I need to interrupt you. He did say it, and I've quoted one or more of his aides quoting him, the fact that he said something like that. I consider him the most reckless, dangerous leader that certainly I have ever known. I've written volumes on them. Solomon, before we end the program, tell listeners how they can view your documentary. And again, it's called Imperialism, Facts, Perspectives, and Solutions. How can listeners view it?
They can go to yourworldnews.org. That's yourworldnews.org. Or they can go to YouTube, YouTube.com/YourWorldNewsFilms. That's YouTube.com/YourWorldNewsFilms. And please, you know, and take some time to go ahead and email me. My email address is there. I'd love to build with folks that are listening right now and hope that we can join together and work towards building a much better, more humane society and world that we live in.
Many, many thanks, Solomon. We are out of time. I've got to sign off. Indeed, I hope listeners will do that. Again, many, many thanks, Solomon.
Thank you.